Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
WWE Universe, the D-Lou Podcast is now a brand affiliate of WWE Shop with Fanatics. Get all of your latest merchandise from your favorite WWE superstars and wear them proud. So if it's CM Punk, the American Nightmare Cody Rhodes, L.A. Knight, the Tribal Chief Roman Reigns, or legends like The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and Bret the Hitman Hart, again, you can get all of your favorite merchandise over at wrestling.thedlupodcast.com. Again, that's wrestling.thedlupodcast.com to get all of your favorite merchandise at WWE Shop with Fanatics.
This podcast is a Believe Network and Luciete production.
Welcome to another edition of the D-Lou Podcast, brought to you by Believe Network. I'm your host, Derek T. Lewis, and we're going to get right into it. You know, this past weekend, it was the Icon Sting's very, very last match. And today, me and Gabby are just going to talk about, you know, Sting's career, you know, all aspects of it through the multiple companies that he worked for, you know, the moments, the storylines, and it's really just a celebration of his entire wrestling career. And let's not wait any longer. Me and Gabby's celebration of the Icon Sting starts right now. Well, ladies and gentlemen, fresh off the heels of his very last match, me and Gabby are going to be talking about the Icon Sting on this episode. Gabby, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Doing great. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, just last night, as we're recording this on a Monday evening, you know, last night we watched AEW Revolution, you know, and obviously it was all centered around Sting's last match when he and Darby Allin defended the coveted AEW World Tag Team titles against the Young Bucks, in which they were successful in defending them. And Sting had probably one of the best send-offs you can possibly do for a professional wrestler. Now, AEW, as much as people give AEW shit about, you know, a lot of things, it's one thing I will say is they do honor their legends. They honor people the right way. So I don't think Sting could have asked for a better send-off than that.
100%. I mean, we've all seen send-offs that have gone not as great. And we've also seen send-offs that probably should not have happened. However, like you mentioned, I do think AEW gave him the proper send-off. They gave him the proper last run of his career. Props to AEW. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like I said, me and Gabby are going to talk about just our favorite moments of Sting. Not in any chronological order or anything like that. It's more or less as far as like what we think is probably what made us wrestling fans, what gravitated towards Sting. Because I'll be honest with you, there was a lot of father and sons or fathers and daughters that were in the crowd last night with Sting paint on. That really touched me, you know, seeing how many lives over five. Think about it. This is his fifth decade wrestling. Unfreaking believable.
And honestly, still looks good. I mean, like, no shade to Ric Flair. He looks like he's been wrestling for as long as he's been wrestling. Like, Sting compared to, again, no shade, your Lex Luger's, like, he still looks damn good.
I think Sting being an unproblematic individual, and again, this is no shade to anybody. I understand. When people ask me, you know, because, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm 45 years old. But when people ask me, what is your secret? I said, I do two things. I drink water and I mind my business. And that's the key, you know what I mean, of living a very youthful life is that instinct does that. But we're gonna just go into his early, is obviously, where he's from and everything, obviously, the real life Steve Borden, born March 20th, 1959. So in a couple of weeks, he's gonna be turning 65 years old.
Insane.
You know what I mean? And he was born in Omaha, Nebraska, but he was raised in SoCal in Southern California. And obviously he was an athlete, basketball, football, and later he embarked in bodybuilding. And you know what I mean? That's really how he caught the eye, of Rick Basman that was out in California. Rick Basman is also known for training many guys like Samoa Joe, John Cena. So obviously he got started, with Power Team USA out in California, with a guy named Justice. I don't know, Jim Hellwig, who ended up becoming the Ultimate Warrior. So there were Power Team USA, and they end up going down to UWF, which was formerly Mid-South Wrestling that was owned by Cowboy Bill Watts. And they were a heel tag team known as the Blade Runners. And obviously he changed his name to Sting, and obviously the Ultimate Warrior was known as Rock. So they were going to be UWF's version of the Road Warriors. You know what I mean? But obviously, Warrior left the territory. He goes down to World Class down in Dallas, becomes the Dingo Warrior, and Sting finishes out with UWF up until the, I don't want to say merger, but basically when Jim Crockett Promotions, who was basically, the NWA, had bought out the UWF, and that's when a lot of their guys came over to, NWA. So guys like Sting, Dr. Death Steve Williams, Hot Stuff Eddie Gilbert, the list goes on and on. So there was a lot of, UWF guys that went to the WWF, like Ted DiBiase did, Hacksaw Jim Duggan. The list goes on. And then, of course, you have some guys that went down to the NWA because basically those are the two hot companies in the United States, the WWF in the North and the NWA in the South, Jim Crockett Promotions. By the way, rest in peace, Jim Crockett. It was 3 years ago we lost the great Jim Crockett of Jim Crockett Promotions. But, so I caught the eye of Sting, I would say around that time in 87. And what really caught my eye was just the face paint, the blonde hair, the tan, and as we call Surfer Sting now, we just called him Sting back then. But because we had nothing to compare to, it was just Sting. But it was just this energy that was just so magnetic. You couldn't take your eyes off of him. You know what I mean? And his promos were just unique. And you could tell that, even then that, okay, obviously you had, the Horsemen and all that stuff going on, but you could tell that even looking back, if you look at, in the history of everything, that Sting was going to be their guy.
I love the fact that one of the things that back in the day, everybody wanted to be this badass, right? Everybody wanted to be this hardcore heel. And then you have Sting who comes out, like you said, in his blonde hair and his tan and his face paint. He just was so different. He was so unique. That's what originally drew me to Sting. Can you, what is like one of your favorite Sting moments?
I mean, I have tons of Sting moments. The first Sting moment that I remember vividly was March 27th, 1988.
You dropping dates.
I'm gonna explain why. Because that date was WrestleMania 4, but what was on at the same time was the very first Clash of the Champions on free TV to combat WrestleMania 4, because basically, it was a tactic that Vince McMahon had did in the eight in the previous year when Starrcade was on Thanksgiving night historically, and Vince wanted to do Survivor Series that same night, and he bullied a lot of the cable companies to say, "Hey, if you show Starrcade, I'm not getting you're not getting WrestleMania." So they were like, okay, fine. So the NWA did two things. They did the Bunkhouse Stampede, I believe. That was at the Nassau Coliseum the same day as the Royal Rumble in 1988. The same day. And then WrestleMania 4, March 27th, 1988. So back then, and I'm giving a little history lesson, guys, cable companies when you ordered pay-per-view, you could, if you had multiple TVs in your house that had a cable box, you can only designate one television in your house for the pay-per-view to be seen. So if you want to say, hey, I want it in the living room, it'll be in the living room, or I want it in bedroom one, bedroom two, whatever, though that's where the feed will go. So my mom ordered WrestleMania 4 for me and my sister. And
Shout out to mom.
so yeah, love you, mom. You can check out my interview with my mom from a few weeks ago. It's in the archives at the dlupepodcast.com. She ordered WrestleMania 4. Now, mind you, WrestleMania was in the afternoon back then, so they had a 4 p.m. start.
Wait, really?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. So WrestleMania 1 was a 1 p.m. start. WrestleMania 2, because it was on a Monday night, it was an 8 p.m. start, but it was in three different time zones. They did a couple of matches in Long Island, a couple of matches in Chicago, and then a couple of matches in L.A. So that's how that happened. But WrestleMania 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 were at 4 p.m. WrestleMania 8 was at 5 p.m. because they were in Indianapolis, and that's why I think Indianapolis was still in Central Time Zone. WrestleMania 9 was on at 4 p.m. WrestleMania 10 was at 4 p.m. WrestleMania 11 was the first one where they started doing them on at around 7 p.m., 8 p.m. So that was how that worked. So WrestleMania was on at 4 p.m. and so was the very first Clash of the Champions on free TV on TBS. Sorry if I got long-winded, guys, but I had to do everything for clarity purposes so you guys can follow on with me. So I had on WrestleMania 4 in the living room, but I also had Clash of the Champions on in my
So
bedroom.
you're running back and forth.
So I was literally running back and forth and back and forth.
To be young.
And yeah, to be young, right? I was 9 years old at the time. And watching the Sting Flair match and it go to a 45-minute time limit draw. And there were so many close calls, so many false finishes. And Flair went out of his way to make Sting. So when people say, you know, Sting and Flair were lock and step, they were, because I truly believe that was Flair's pet project. That was his project to make Sting. That was my very first, you know, as far as me seeing him, as far as one of my favorite moments, that's definitely, and I'll name a few, but what was your first favorite moment of Sting?
So oddly enough, I remember his flair with his feud with Flair. And my brother put me on wrestling a long, long time ago. I have an older brother about 17 months apart. So everything he did, I wanted to do, obviously. So he was watching wrestling, I'm watching wrestling. I was an annoying little sister. And he was a WCW guy, which is why I'm a
Okay.
WCW girl. So we would always kind of flip back and forth, but the main wrestling on Mondays in my house was WCW.
Nitro, got it.
Yes, we were a natural family. We would obviously flip back and forth, but like if we were gonna spend, we start the night off obviously with Nitro. So we were watching, and again, it what drew me to him was he was so different. He was not like the rough and tough, like hardcore heel. He was like a true baby face. And as a little girl, you're like, huh, what is this? Who is this? I wasn't into my bad boy phase yet at this point. I was like, hey. Cute guy, blonde hair, nice tan. Tell me more about him. And then I naturally became a Sting fan, and my brother is a huge Sting fan. And again, his feud with Ric Flair for the NWA WCW Championship belt, just, oh my gosh,
Right.
classic match. Like if you have not seen it, like I definitely tell you to take time out of your day and put it on YouTube. I'm sure you can find it. Just the two of them have great chemistry. Whenever they were in the ring together, it just
Right.
was pure magic, and it cannot be denied. Like you mentioned before, like his goal was to make Sting, and he did just that, which is why Sting was there for his last few months in AEW. History lesson. Go
Yeah,
back and look at it.
right. And it's crazy because the 45-minute time limit draw at the Clash of the Champions was at the Greensboro Coliseum, which was where AEW's Revolution took place last night. So the significance of his last match being where his coming out party, so to speak, a star was born, 36 years ago this
That's where
month.
he was originally billed from as well. Like I had to do my Googles too. I went back and did some, did a little research here. He originally was billed from Greensboro, North Carolina as well.
Wow, that's incredible. So I would say my next Sting moment had to be the moment that Sting and Flair became like a tandem. Because what happened was obviously at the Great American Bash 89, it took place in Baltimore. I think that was called Glory Days, I think. Yeah, I think that may have been Glory Days, or I think that was Glory Days. That was the theme of the Great American Bash 89. And two of the premier matches on the card that night was Sting, who was defending the World Television Championships against the great Muda. And this was, man, when Muda was like hot. Like he was the new thing around. Muda, and I'm still a fan of Muda. And then, of course, in the main event, Ric Flair was defending the championship against Terry Funk. Now, mind you, the was it the 2 months before that, Sting had just beat Ricky Steamboat to become the 6-time champion, and he was still technically a heel, but fans in Nashville were cheering him. And Terry Funk issued a challenge and beat the crap out of Flair, almost legit shoot broke his neck on a doing a table, a pile driver table spot. And Flair became a babyface. You know what I mean? He wasn't necessarily clamoring to the crowd or adding a asking for the fans' approval, but it's just more, it was a gradual turn.
And just worked
And
out naturally.
right, exactly. And so at the end of the pay-per-view, Flair defend he retained the championship. And of course, what happens is now you have this faction of Terry Funk and the great Muda, along with the manager Gary Hart, and they're beating up Flair. They're beating up Flair. They missed, obviously Muda missed Flair, so you see all this green mist on Flair's face, and all of a sudden Sting comes to the save, and they're now it's even up. Boom, boom, boom. The crowd's up. And this is how, and this is after a world championship match, and then they're going off the air with Jim Ross and Lance Russell, I believe, they're interviewing Sting and Flair, and they're both doing the woo, you know what I mean? And they became a tandem right then and there, and it was crazy to think that, man, can Flair be trusted? That was the first thing everyone was thinking, because all this time we've always known to be Flair to be this dirty player in the game. Was he, but again, him and Sting becoming a faction, becoming a tandem, because Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard were still in the WWF as the Brainbusters at that point. And Arn, and they would eventually leave WWF for other reasons, but there was no Arn Anderson or anything like that during that time. You're next.
Oh my goodness. So without getting like spiritual on this podcast, I think that he has one of the greatest stories. I think him and Shawn Michaels, when they, I hate to say find Christ because we never find Christ, but when they accepted God into their life full time and they had their comeback, I think that's also a very important part of Sting's story that for obvious reasons doesn't get talked about. And I think Shawn Michaels similar as well. When you have that acceptance and you welcome the Lord back into your life and things change and you kind of you clean up a little bit. You clean up mentally, you clean up physically. He talks about his openness with his problem with steroids and drinking and things like that. It just that really at that is very important part of his career that again for obvious reasons people don't talk about, but I think it is a very important part of his career that should be talked about. When people recognize that they're heading down the wrong path and they do what needs to be done to correct it.
Yeah, you're right, and I think, and a lot of times we see it all the time, and unfortunately, there was a lot of fatalities that happened in pro wrestling due to alcohol, drug abuse, and that type of thing. And as you can see, it was a certain point where Sting just kind of had to put the brakes on and say, "Hey, man, I need to fix this," and he did. And you can see, how he was moving, as far as not, I'm not talking about physical, but I'm just talking about just him in general. And
In general,
nobody has a bad thing to say about the real life Steve Borden. Nobody does. And you, I mean, literally, like you just because the Players Tribune actually did a special thing for Sting where you can leave a voicemail for him. I left him a voicemail this morning, actually. I'll find that number and give it to you guys, because I mean, it was really special to hear some of the voicemails that a lot of the wrestlers were leaving them, and it was truly special of how everyone, thought of them. I think even when CM Punk was in AEW, I mean, the fact that he painted his face like Sting, it's so cool. Like Bully Ray even did that, and when he was in TNA, they tagged him and Sting actually tagged, and it may have been a house show, I think. I'm not sure, but he painted his face like Sting because everybody wanted to be a little Stinger. And I think if you really think about it, Sting was an early version of John Cena. If you really look at the parallels, think about it. Two bodybuilders that were from, out in California. They both got started by Rick Basman. They both did. And they were so beloved by children and the women and the children and everything. And obviously there were guys, but I think the difference was, I think some of the male fans were just trying to be idiots and just wanted to be cool. But I think deep down, everyone liked John Cena. But the parallels were pretty similar. Just their energy and like even their comebacks are similar too. You know what I mean? And they were a little unorthodox in there, but they got the job done. And I thought about that today. I'm like, they're very, very similar in a lot of ways. Your thoughts?
So I never thought about that reference, and now you kind of got my gears turning. I think that Sting is one of those, like you mentioned before, one of those gentlemen who in their life is very unproblematic. I think that, like you mentioned, there's really not a bad story that you've heard about Sting, and you can't say that about everybody or anybody in the industry these days. He's one of the people that, when you think about your OG wrestling fans or your OG wrestlers, he's one of mine. He has been wrestling, honestly, longer than I've been alive. I'm born in 87. I think his debut was around 87, 80, 86, 87.
85, actually.
Yeah,
85 is when he got 85 when
85.
he got started. And that's when the Power Team USA thing happened out in California.
And to still have that energy and to still be able to go now is, I mean, insane. And to get all the respect that this man has received last night. He received his flowers. He received all of the great things, all the video packages, the tributes. Not a single person that I've seen on Twitter has had a bad thing to say about this person. And again, that's just so rare these days.
It is. And I mean, we can go back to last night for a second. The one thing I enjoyed was the entrance, and when he was at a movie theater and he's in the theater by himself, and he's watching all of his, the history through pictures and videos of which they were able to get access to. And when it went off, he said, "It's showtime." For the last time. And I just like, oh my God. And of course, his two sons come out, one dressed up as Wolfpack Sting, the other one as Surfer Sting, in the outfit that he wore at Great American Bash 90 with the American flag and with the American flag paint when he fought Ric Flair in Baltimore. And of course, Sting comes out, and I'm just like, oh, to Seek and Destroy by Metallica. My goodness. Like, that was. Again, like we said earlier in the interview here, that you couldn't have asked for a better send off, for a legend, icon, superstar of the level of Sting.
Again, I just appreciate AEW doing the right send off for him. I think that his run in WWF was very forgettable. I think he only won one match, and I believe it was a tag team with John Cena.
Yeah, I actually saw that on he actually pinned Seth, he put Seth Rollins in the Scorpion. That was it. And here's the crazy thing. When WWF bought WCW in March 2001, and everyone was wondering who's coming over. Is it going to be Sting? Is it going to be Holland? Everyone was wondering. And there was rumors out there that Sting just didn't know if they were going to treat him right. And I think it was a promo The Rock did to he was talking to Booker T about who the hell are you or something like that, and that may have turned Sting off. Now, mind you, Flair had been telling Sting to go to the WWF in the 90s, He was saying, you'll be Vince McMahon's ultimate warrior, but better. He said they will roll out the red carpet for you. And I believe in 19, if he would have, if Sting would have gone there maybe in the mid-90s, he probably, I think Vince probably would have done it right, I think. But unfortunately, because of course they won the war, they could force the narrative or change the narrative. Obviously, that's not their MO these days, being that that old man is no longer there running the company. And he's not pet. There's no pettiness going on right now. But I truly believe if, let's just say for argument's sake, if somebody dined Vince out in 2013 or 14, maybe Sting's run may have gone a little bit better. You know what I mean? I think because I don't, this is, and again, this is no shade on Triple H at all. I mean, he's somebody I may want to work for someday. But I truly believe that the finish to that match at WrestleMania, the wrong guy won.
Agreed.
But I think in Vince's mind, he's like, well, Sting represents WCW and we won the war. And it's just like, come on, does this have to be that?
I mean, to be fair, I mean, we're not here for that, but you look at DDP's career. There are some people from WCW who career the minute they got over there. I mean, Booker T, several people who just did not. I feel like he purposely buried, and unfortunately, a lot of people were in that mix. Sting, as well as other people from WCW, just did not. I hate to say make the cut, they just didn't make the cut for whatever reason. It may be speculation, who knows, but it's a very unfortunate that a lot of people's WWF careers did not blossom.
I mean, I would say that the only, and I know we're going to get off topic with this, but I have to mention this because it's important, because we're all talking about historical pieces. If you really think about former like NWA slash WCW world champions that went to the WWF, Vince didn't highlight their greatness in other companies, except for one guy, and that was Ric Flair, for obvious reasons. Like when
I
Dusty
mean,
wrote,
yes, obvious reasons.
When Dusty Rhodes went to the WWF, there was no mention of him being a three-time world champion or anything like that. When Terry Funk even went to the WWF, there was no mention of him or his brother when they were when they were the Funk brothers. They were on WrestleMania 2. There was no mention of them being the only brother tandem to be NWA World Heavyweight Champions. There was no mention of it. There are so many. My God, I mean, there was Rugged Ronnie Garvin, a former NWA World Champion, never mentioned. But like I said, I think because of the aura that Flair brought is the only reason why they brought him. Obviously they did the whole real world champion thing. So I think that ideology stuck, for years and years and years. And obviously Flair being a legend when he went back after the buyout, Flair was able to get, because I mean, I thought to me, Flair should have got one more title run in WWF, even if it could have been a month. I think Flair should have, I mean, he deserved it. That would have been great. But, I don't know if it was in the, I don't know if that was in the cards or whatever, but I just thought that the treatment of, people coming from other companies during that time, especially in the heyday, it was like, that I just thought it was a little petty. And Sting deserved a lot better treatment than he did. His debut was cool at Survivor Series 2014 when he did the run-in. It helped Dolph Ziggler. That was cool. But after
After
that,
that, it just kind of pondered, unfortunately.
But this episode of the DLU podcast is brought to you by Goalie Nutrition. As someone who's used Goalie for quite some time, I can tell you that they're not only very good, but they're very beneficial. My favorite are the Super Green Gummies. The Super Green Gummies are uniquely crafted with a spectrum of essential nutrients such as vitamins A, B12, folic acid, and theamine. It supports a healthy liver function, healthy nervous and immune system, digestive health, a boost to your metabolism, and overall health and well-being. There are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or colors from artificial sources. They're vegan-friendly, gluten-free, and gelatin-free. All loyal listeners of the DLU podcast get a special 10% discount at checkout. Go to goalie.com, use promo code DLEW. That's goalie.com, use promo code DLEW.
Mientras crecíamos, vimos a nuestros papás siempre ordenando la casa. Now that we have our own, entendemos la importancia de mantener una casa limpia y ordenada. One that makes you proud. Por eso puedes contar con IKEA. IKEA knows that having a place for everything makes it much easier to maintain a happy home and your peace of mind. When you shop at IKEA, cada dólar rinde más. Visit your nearest IKEA store to find the best storage solutions para tu hogar.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you need to summarize your class notes or want to create a recipe with the ingredients you already have in your fridge, Meta AI has the answers. You can also research topics, explore interests, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
But, you know, I do want to go back to some of my sting moments, though.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Positivity. So I remember, obviously, Arn Anderson returned to WCW, I think, in December of 89. He had just left. Tully Blanchard, unfortunately, couldn't come because, of course, he did fail a drug test. So it was Arn, Ole Anderson. They came to help Flair, you know, I think it was an episode of WCW Saturday Night, I believe. And they basically reformed the Horsemen. So Sting mm-hmm. was officially a Horseman. And there was the Starrcade, there was a tournament that happened. I think that if the singles guy won, that he would get a world title shot. And I think if the tag team that won would get a tag team title shot. So Sting did win the tournament. There was the Iron Man, then it was the Iron Team. Right. And Sting was scheduled to face Ric Flair, his Horseman buddy, at WrestleWar 90. And of course, a couple of weeks before WrestleWar was Clash of the Champions 10, Texas Shootout out in Corpus Christi, Texas. And by the way, this is the very first time I ever heard of the town Corpus Christi, Texas. So when everyone ever mentions that town, I think about Clash of the Champions 10. That's my wrestling nerdom coming out, ladies and gentlemen. So basically, the Horsemen there was a segment called Funk's Grill. Funk was not wrestling at this point. He was more or less doing an interview segment, kind of how, you know, Miz TV, the type of thing. And the mm-hmm. Horseman, you know, Ole Anderson got on the microphone and they told Sting, you're no longer a Horseman. You're not a Horseman any longer. He said, you better give up that chance at the world title. And Sting's like, what are you talking about? I'm not giving anything up. And then Ole said, you got 2 hours to make up your mind. And if we ever see you again, and then and Flair said, Sting, I tried to buy you a little time because of what you did for me. And Ole was like, no. No more niceness. He said, you're no longer a Horseman. And if we ever see you again, you're not going to be so lucky. And man, Flair just sucker punched him right in the face. And I mean, they beat him bad. Because originally, the main event that night was going to be a six-man tag in a cage. It was going to be the Great Muta, the Dragon Master, and Mad Dog Buzz Sawyer against Sting, Arn Anderson, and Ric Flair. Now, because Sting was no longer a Horseman, Ole Anderson basically took his spot. Now, what wasn't supposed to happen was Sting hurting his knee for real when he was trying to climb the cage during the match.
Mm-hmm.
So the match for WrestleWar got put on hold, so Lex Luger took his spot. So everyone was clamoring for Sting's, you know, eventual comeback. Now, behind the scenes, they were looking to take the belt off of Flair mm-hmm. and put it on Luger. And Flair flat out said, I promise Sting. This is over interviews over the years that Flair has mm-hmm. mentioned this. He said, I promise Sting. I promise Sting. I promise Sting. And then, of course, July 7th, 1990 in Baltimore, Maryland,
mm-hmm.
Great American Bash, the new revolution. You know, Sting had his he wore that iconic American themed,
mm-hmm.
you know, the jacket.
The jacket he had his sun hat on.
Mm-hmm. His sun hat on. That was from Bash 90. And the Horsemen were going to be barred from ringside. I think Ole Anderson had to be handcuffed to Elegante for the guy formerly known as Giant Gonzalez. And, you know, Sting wins the match with an inside cradle when Flair tried to put the figure four on him, and Sting won the world title for the very, very first time. And Sting broke kayfabe after that because they interviewed him. And he said, Ric Flair is the greatest world champion I've ever faced, and I have big, big shoes to fill. So that was a fun Saturday night. I got to watch that with my cousin. My mom ordered it for me.
Shout out to
And
mom.
yeah, my mom was ordering WCW
Clearly.
and WWF, so she wasn't prejudiced to either company. She loved, she wanted to make sure her son was well fed
Well
and
versed, you know?
well versed in the world of professional wrestling. But that was that again, it was a cool moment because it's like you were really seeing the passing of a torch. And the irony in and because I knew at you know be, me being into independent wrestling and reading the independent magazines that him and the Warrior were tag team partners, and then that same year Warrior was the W he beat Hogan at WrestleMania 6. So you ultimately had the Blade Runners as world champions in both companies. I thought that was really, really cool.
I think that there are several things you can say when you think of Sting, but I think one of the things that you have to think about with Sting is him rappelling from the rafters. You have to think about those moments. For instance, when he, I believe he propelled down to stop the NWO from attacking DDP by himself. Like there
Right.
are always certain things that you think about with Sting. I think you think about the face paint, you know, your scorpions. You think about the NWO, you think about the bat. But like one of the things that kind of always in your head too is his cool entrances where he would rappel down from the ceiling.
Yeah, it go ahead, continue.
No, yeah,
Go.
you got it, you got
Right.
it.
No, because it we got to talk about the birth of that because obviously in late 95, early 96, Sting was starting to grow his hair out. And he was going from blonde to his natural hair color of like dark brown or whatever. And of course, you know, they were they had, you know, they were taking over. And this is before, I guess it was before it was called the NWO. And basically, they had the match at Bash at the Beach, who was gonna be the third man. And of course, it wasn't it wasn't Sting. It was you know that Hollywood jabroni Hulk Hogan. That's what Iron Sheik would say. And basically, it was just one of those things where it's like he was starting to be a loner. I remember they had the fake Sting, and everyone thought it was the real Sting. And during War Games at Fall Brawl, Sting comes out. The real Sting comes out. Proves everybody wrong and then gives them the stick it and he just, you know, he left. And that's when he started started the whole crow thing, which was the brainchild of Scott Hall.
I was gonna say I watched a video about that this morning, actually.
Like,
That was the brainchild of Scott Hall. Scott
can
Hall pitched it.
you imagine and think about this and please, and I want you to chime in. Like, can you imagine somebody literally adding 27 more years to your wrestling career off of a gimmick change. Think about that. Your thoughts.
And it's someone else's, like I the interview that I saw this morning where he was like, "Hey, I just was in the room spitballing with Eric Bischoff. Like, I wasn't trying to insert myself. I kind of just like, hey, saw this cool movie, think this is kind of cool, and then it just worked." And like you mentioned, just a casual conversation of a movie ends up like sending propelling his career to honestly new heights off of a spitball
Right.
conversation is insane. And they built upon it for, I believe, 9 to 10 months before he went into that feud with someone who we don't talk about on this show. But again, that started off like such a pivotal point in his career. He didn't talk. He just showed up with his bat. He handled business and he would leave. Like just again, just a casual spitball conversation with Bischoff, and like look at him now and how that one thing has grown into a life of its own, essentially, is wild.
I mean, he literally didn't talk at
Didn't talk.
all.
For 9 to 10 months.
He
Build
sat in
up,
the
the build
rafters,
up.
and it was just like, man,
This was
like
there.
what it right. And it was leading up to, you didn't know. And I remember when he officially challenged Hogan, when he pointed the bat at Hogan, I said, oh boy. And I still say Starrcade 97. That entrance was electric. when the little boy, who by the way was, that was Garrett Bischoff actually, that was Eric's little, that was Eric's son actually, that did the you know, with the whole the monologue for Sting. And after that, he just comes out slow and he just has the bat and he just raises his hand. It was just simple moves he was that he did, but it was just like, man, and you wanted to see this match. And then of course, they kind of fucked the finish. Did you ever hear the rumor of why that finish was screwed up?
Yeah, I was in the video that I watched this morning. I blame him for everything that goes wrong, but that's here nor there. But yes, he just didn't want to do it, and he
No,
found a way
well,
not to
no.
do it.
Well, Eric Bischoff on 83. Shout out to Conrad Thompson, the Podfather, who owned ad-free shows. And mind you, this they did an episode about, I want to say Starrcade 97 or Sting, I can't remember, but they talked about how, why was that was supposed to have been a fast count,
And the ref didn't
not a
fast
slow
it.
count. And basically, Eric Bischoff basically admitted that he wasn't tan enough. And Conrad legitimately lost his shit. He said, "You fucked the finish over a tan. Is this real?" I don't remember where I was when I heard that episode, but I had to lean over laughing so hard. But I'm just like, wait a minute, over a tan? And he was basically, Bischoff said that he looked disinterested that whole day. And again, it could have been attributed to personal things he had going on, but the yellow blonde jabroni apparently was telling that referee, "Hey, make that slow count, brother. Make that count slow, like really, really slow." He didn't want the fast count because the whole Bret Hart thing just made no sense. If you pinned the man one, two, three, a regular cadence, it's like, all right, you got beat. But if it was a one, two, three, all right, we got something to work off of now. And I'm just like, man, it just really goes to show you what ego, pride, and
Ooh, baby, get you every time, don't it?
well, you
Every
know.
time.
Oh, 100%. But I'm just like, really? Like, okay. But yeah, that was
Anticlimactic.
very anticlimactic. But you know, obviously Sting ended up, they restarted the match. And I love when he pointed at Bret Hart and did the Scorpion, because you know the Scorpion and the Sharpshooter are the same moves. And he wins the world title. But I just felt as though that they did Sting a huge disservice by doing the finish it the way that they did.
Agreed.
So we covered, you know, a little bit of UWF. We covered a lot of Jim Crockett Promotions, WCW. Obviously, he had feuds in WCW with Vader. We can't forget about that. Those matches with Vader were incredibly good. You know, obviously Vader was such a agile big man. He was a little stiff in there, but he made everything look real. And you wanted that, you got that sympathy for Sting. You know, when he had those matches, obviously he beat Sting for the world title at Bash 92 in Albany, Georgia. And no matter if Sting was the champion, if he was the US champion or whatever the case, people still loved him. If he didn't have a title, the people still loved him. I did feel that, I thought he took a back seat to the yellow blonde jabroni Hulk Hogan when he got the WCW in 94, because I think they were trying to get more outside eyes on that company. And I mean, Hogan had the name, he had the cachet, but Sting was the franchise. You know what I mean? They called him the franchise for a reason. And I thought they did a incredible disservice to him by just, he because he took a back seat for a long time, because he wasn't world champion. It was a minute. Because you figure Hogan had the belt, then the Giant had it for like a hot second. Yeah.
It changed hands.
Yeah, then Flair had it, then Macho Man had it, then the Giant had it for a while, then Hogan had it. It was like, so yo, Sting honestly wasn't world champion for 4.5, for 3.5 years in WCW. It was crazy. You know, and I mean, he had like a tag team belt or something like that or whatever, but it just, I don't know. I just felt as though that he they just did they did him wrong sometimes, I felt.
Definitely. I
But
mean, TNA did it wrong too, if you want to be honest. Like, I mean, the only people that ever gave him the chance, opportunity that he deserved, honestly, was AEW. TNA also squandered him, if you want me. And that's there's not much going on with that that we can say that's positive. Again, AEW, I have to give them their praise and their kudos when they deserve it. And at this point, they deserve it for giving Sting what he deserves. They sent him a great send-off.
they did. I mean, I will touch on TNA a little bit. I mean, obviously we had a little peek of Joker Sting there, which is an interesting spin to the Crow gimmick. You know what I mean? He was obviously TNA world champion and everything. He did have some feuds. One feud that I mean, I credit his leadership for, and I mean, I hate to even bring up this, but Victory Road 2011, when Jeff Hardy clearly was not in any condition to wrestle. And Sting, being that the veteran he is, defused that situation and made sure Jeff Hardy did not kick out of that, didn't kick out of the whatever it was that he put him in. But obviously, in TNA, obviously he was in the Main Event Mafia, so he had moments there. But I just felt as though that, you're right. I mean, in the grand scheme, AEW was the, they did it the right way. You know what? I think him going out on his own terms was also eating at him too, I think, because obviously when he ate that buckle bomb from Seth Rollins, that was a Night of Champions, and I saw him fall. I'm like, oh man. And I'm just like, this, there's no way he's gonna wrestle again, given his age and everything. And you figure that a neck injury is nothing to toy with, you know what I mean? And the fact that he was able to, heal up, obviously he goes into the WWE Hall of Fame and all that, that's cool. But he heals up for a couple of years, and this brand new company comes around, and they do it right.
I love it. I mean, I think that he was able to go on his right way on his own terms. I'm curious to know, and hopefully one of us can find this answer. Who produced last night? Did Sting write that match up? Because if Sting wrote that match out and produced it, then they need to give him around to produce. So that match was great. It was just enough of everything. He got his sons involved. And his sons, good Lord, he can't deny them boys. They look just like his they
I
daddy. Like,
know.
good God. And it's funny, I was talking to my husband about this, and I think that Surfer Sting, I don't know which one they are, so sorry, I'm gonna refer to them as the who they were last night. Surfer Sting was like, this is my moment. I'm gonna go out and have some fun and do this. And the other son was like, I'm here because my dad, asked me to do this. But like,
Right.
Surfer Sting was out there having fun. Like, baby, you may have missed your calling. Like, it ain't too late. Maybe you hop in somebody's performance center, somebody's trainer. But again, I'm sorry, I don't know which from which.
Yeah.
But Surfer Sting was killing it last night. So like again, his boys got involved. He got to go out with Darby. I think it was smart for them to have Darby have his moments, and then Darby went away for a while in that match, and it was just Sting
Yeah.
fighting the two of them by himself. I think Sting also got his moments. Sting, Russ. Everyone talks that Sting wrestles safe. Yeah, the man is 65 years old, and it's a reason why he still matches. Has matches 65 year old because he wrestles safe. Did he have his spots? Absolutely, for sure. But his spots made sense. And that matters too. Like if you're just going out there just having a spot fest, then for sure. But I think, again, I don't know who produced that match. I guess I'll have to hop out and try to figure out doing Googles. But
Right.
like, great match from top to bottom last night. It
It
just it
was.
stole the show.
It did. I mean, obviously putting them on last was the right thing to do. And even somebody had asked, and Bully Ray had talked about it. It was a smart move not to put the belt on Swerve last night because it would have been second fiddle regardless.
And
So
I don't think
not
Serb deserves the belt, but that's here nor there. I
right.
think that if they were, I think last night had right. Sorry, you can't see him right now, but he's doing the dance. No, slander will never work on this podcast. Like
No, needs to
I
be
will
protected
slander
at all
Swerve all
costs.
day long, but I will never swerve. I will never slander. Not. But anyway, bringing it back in. No matter what happened last night. I think that it was going to be overshined by that. I think even the surprise return of our boy Kyle O'Reilly last night was just enough, right? Because if you think about Revolution, there's always a big return and a big I want to say signing, but there's always something big that happens there, right? And they had, I guess, called Kyle O'Reilly's return small on the grand scheme of things. I guess it was small if you look at the big picture, but it was just enough of something fresh, something new, something that nobody was expecting. And then you
Right.
have your main event send off match. So no matter what happened or who debuted or what, you know what I mean? It was going to be overshine.
Right.
So I agree with Bully on that take. It wasn't the right time for titles to change hand. I mean, obviously we had a title change with OC, whatever, but no time for a major
Major title,
championship
right. No,
to
nothing
change
like that.
hands.
That would have been like it would have been an afterthought. And I think,
100%.
obviously, maybe him and Joe one on one, whatever, and then he wins it. But no, I'm happy to have watched Sting, over the last 37 years. Really, 'cause like I said, 87 is when I got wind of him, and to see, I saw a meme earlier. It was little Homer Simpson. And Sting from the 80s, then it was older Homer Simpson, and then Sting from last night, and it was just like, damn, like it's crazy to see. Like they said, he's the last wrestler, last superstar from the 1980s to wrestle, because Dust, although Dustin Rhodes started in the late 80s, he wasn't the soup, he wasn't a soup, he was just starting out. But I'm talking about a major superstar that moved the needle. Sting's the last one.
Absolutely.
And
Unfortunately.
it's crazy. That's why I think a lot of us, older fans are like, damn, like a lot of our wrestlers aren't wrestling
This is
anymore.
my last, I hate to say my last hero, but like this is honestly like my
Yeah.
last OG that still wrestles with Sting. I mean, we all like my top three all day, every day is Macho Man, HBK, and Sting. And now
I'm going, yeah.
my baby's gone. I think that, I mean, Sting admitted in an interview that he's done wrestling. He'll still be at signings, he'll still do things. He said he may show up to support Darby here and there, but as far as like getting in the ring, he's done. And again, I if he had anything to do with how that match was written last night, then he needs to put hire him as a producer.
Well, he already said that he doesn't want to be a producer or agent or anything like that. Like he said that at the press, at the scrum, nothing like that. Like he doesn't want anything like it involved. I think he really just wants to just distance himself from it. And I think maybe something, if they could use, if I'm Tony Khan, and again, I'm not Tony Khan with his billions of dollars, but I'm just like this. Hey, Sting, if I was to offer you an ambassador job where you can go to these on sale events, we'll fly you first class, whatever you need. When they're having on sale dates for these events, because I think if you have a guy like him at whatever at an arena where AEW is gonna be, and they parade him around signing autographs or whatever the case, that's how you do it. I think now that AEW, they're a 5-year company now, and I just think that they have to start getting to that more of that deep promotion game now. Utilizing their talent, but also some of their legends. And like I said, now that Sting is officially done. Hey, listen, you're not
Transition, right? I mean,
transition.
HBK transitioned over to NXT. Like, there are
Right.
several wrestlers. Jason Jordan has been out here killing in the producing game. You can, like, there are so many positions that are not just producer, that are not just trainer. There are so many things that you can do behind the scenes that aren't like labor heavy or intense, right?
Right.
Like at the end of the day, the man is 65 years old. He's got two, three, I'm sorry, he has three kids. He has a daughter, who's I believe 24 because she was born in 2000. Like I'm sure he wants to go
Spend
back
time
and
in
spend
with
time with
his
his family.
family,
And also,
yeah.
while we're talking about family, one of the things that I can appreciate about his son said is that Sting never missed a beat. Sting would be on the road, but he never missed a track meet, never missed a football game, never missed a spring concert, never missed a karate match. Whatever they did, Sting was there. And unfortunately, you have people like Ric Flair who said they missed everything. Billy Gunn said he missed so many moments in his boy's life. And they even made it a whole storyline about him not being there for his kid. His Sting's
Yeah.
kids were like immediately like, absolutely not, we're clearing this up right now. Dad never missed a beat. And as a family person, like that's a lot, right? When your dad has such an intense job where he gets off the plane and he's beat up, literally. You know how our parents used to be like, I'm beat up, I'm tired. Like, no, Sting was literally beat up and still was at every track meet, every spring concert, whatever they needed, he was there for, not just financial backing of his children. I can appreciate that about Sting as well. He was a true definition of a family man.
Definitely, definitely. And that phone number, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, for the Players Tribune, if you want to leave Sting a nice voice message, because I left one at about 5:06 a.m. this morning. I'm looking at my my phone log right now.
You are one of the few people that I can text at like 4:45 o'clock in the morning that are like gonna respond. Like, I know you're awake. You know what I mean? Like, it's just
Yeah.
random. Anyway, sorry.
But the number is 833 818 2424. Again, that's 833 818-2424. You can leave the Stinger, a heartfelt, congratulatory message on his retirement, and whatever it is you want to say. Obviously, keep it clean and everything. But it's from the trip, the Players Tribune. But you can actually hear the voicemails from wrestlers like Chris Jericho, Dustin Rhodes. There are so many, superstars. Obviously his kids. They all left voice messages and stuff. So you can actually see it on the website. If you go and search, the Players Tribune, they'll be able to, you'll be able and just search, Sting or whatever. You'll be able to go to that article and see, all those voice messages you can actually play and hear and, really enjoy, because I definitely enjoyed it for sure. But, before we get out of here, anything else about Sting before we tie the bow on this thing?
No, like I said, the biggest thing is he had an awesome career. I think that a lot of your faves would not be your faves if it were not for Sting and his contributions to the wrestling industry. At the end of the day, also, he was a family man. Like I said, the man never missed a beat, and I think that should be honored as well. He's unproblematic. As far as we know, we've never heard a bad story about Sting. And again, I wish I could say that about your favorites, but here we are. Thank you, Stinger.
Yeah, I made a nice poster. I don't want to say poster, but I made a post on my social media, with the D-Loop podcast logo on it. But really, it's a scorpion. It's just a thank you, Sting. And truly, on behalf of, myself, Gabby, the D-Loop podcast, Unbelief Network, thank you, Sting, for, nearly 40 years of your life that you gave to the pro wrestling industry. You didn't owe us anything, but we appreciate, you putting your body on the line. And entertaining us for so many decades, and we wish you all the best in all that you do, going forward. And before we get out of here, Gabby, as always, give me your info of where the people can reach you.
You guys can find me on all social media as Hi Gabby, HiiGabii. You can catch me every Monday morning on the Mid-Carters and Catering podcast. Thank you for having me. I hope we'll see you guys soon.
All right. Well, as always, Gabby, thank you for all you do, and I'll definitely be hopping on your platform very, very soon so we can talk about some women's wrestling. We got to get on that definitely.
Definitely.
All right.
Well, that does it for this week's edition of the D Loop podcast. Once again, on behalf of the show and Believe Network, again, we want to thank, the real life human being, Steve Borden. All the best on his retirement. The Sting character will live on through the hearts of millions for generations and generations to come. So I wish him all the best in what he does post wrestling, and I'm pretty sure his schedule and his calendar will be filled with appearances and things of that nature. So I'm sure he'll stay, somewhat close to the business. Hey, nothing wrong with doing some, appearances here and there, some autograph signings. So hopefully, we'll see Stinger, down the road at some conventions. But as always, as I mentioned, subscribe to the show, on multiple platforms. Again, you can just hit that subscribe button and you'll get all new content every single week. Once again, the new store is back up. Merchandise. All the Luciette theme merchandise is back up at shop.derricktlewis.com. There's hoodies, t-shirts, long sleeve tees, crew necks, tote bags, and coffee mugs. That's right. We got coffee mugs and we got tote bags on that store. And my Pro Wrestling Tees store, you can go to pwt.derricktlewis.com. You can stream my single, Espacion, with the talented Angie Stars on multiple platforms. The music video can be viewed on Tidal, Apple Music, the Vevo app, and of course, YouTube. So once again, I thank you all for listening to the show, supporting the show, tell a friend. And also on Apple Podcasts, leave a review too. Let the people know what you think of the show, what we can continue to do to bring it to you every single Thursday. Well, I'm going to get out of here, and as I always say, no matter what it is you do in life, always remember to make it count. See you next time.
Have a question or need how-to advice? Just ask Meta AI. Whether you want to design a marathon training program or you're curious what planets are visible in tonight's sky, Meta AI has the answers. It can also summarize your class notes, visualize your ideas, and so much more. It's the most advanced AI at your fingertips. Expand your world with Meta AI. Now on Instagram, WhatsApp, Facebook, and Messenger.